Hello! Welcome to another episode of Something Wiki This Way Comes. I'm Jesse Bergen.
And I'm Thomas Tolles.
This is a podcast where we go through a WikiHow article and discuss it, and then do some improv about it afterwards.
Yeah, and we thought we would bring it really close to home today by finding a popular film franchise that we know everybody's talking about right now.
You can't stop people from talking about
Perhaps it. Perhaps you've heard of Revenge of the Sith.
Perhaps you've heard of The Phantom Menace.
Perhaps you've heard of Han Adventures.
Maybe you've heard of The Jar Jar Deception.
Perhaps also Landoomed.
Right, Landoomed. That's where he goes back to college and he starts selling marijuana.
He's a dude in that one.
Han lit up first.
Greedo. So, Greedo was just
Greeno. Am I right? Oh
just
boy,
grinding stems. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
You guessed.
So we've
it,
already
folks.
Exhausted our Star Wars references, but we're gonna try to soldier on. We're gonna do an article called "How to Make Your Own Star Wars Film." Have you ever wanted to make a Star Wars movie of your very own? Well, you can. So long as you have a video camera. But here's a warning. If it's a short movie, this will only take a few hours. But if it's feature length, it could take a while for it to turn out just right.
So this is why, you know, that Disney would love to release a Star Wars movie every few hours.
Yeah, you know they would. Believe me, if they could, they could get that corporate machine to hum.
If they could get it any faster, they would. Mm. But they need that 90 minutes to bring audiences into the theater, you know?
Yep, and you know how short films only take a few hours to make?
Yeah, and the Oscars were pretty recent, and those best live-action shorts, people threw those together on a Thursday night.
Yeah, you remember that old Bug's Life opening short with the old guy playing chess?
Yeah, against himself.
Yeah, it only took 20 minutes for them to make that.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, they only had to animate one character.
Exactly. Andy Serkis played all of the chess pieces.
Yeah.
So, let's dive in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's start with step one. Think up some characters. You can't do anything until you've got a couple of main characters. If you're gonna want to avoid copyright issues, you gotta
change the names very slightly. Yeah. Like Han Duo.
Yeah. Or
Prince Leia.
Exactly. Luke Groundwalker.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
AT-2. And T instead of an A-T-A-T.
James Spader instead of Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on. So just find...
R2-D3.
Yeah. They'll never see that one coming. Yeah. So really just take your favorite Star Wars characters, add your own little personal flavor, and I think the movie will basically write itself.
Vaz Binks.
Yeah, different types of porcelain containers will really throw off those lawyers.
Yeah.
So it
a good guy, a bad guy, these are what you need. Just make sure you have enough to start your plot.
Right, and it does specify that you don't have to flesh it all out right away. You still have a couple hours left before you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like George Lucas when he first envisioned the Han Solo character as an 8-foot-tall blue monster. You don't necessarily...
And called a Na'vi.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to go with your initial idea, but it could take you places.
And you know... What happened with the prequels, the Star Wars prequels, is that he just didn't have enough characters initially. Mm-hmm. Initially, it was just the shop owner.
Yeah.
What was his name?
The really racist Jewish stereotype, Watto.
It was like a one-man show of just Watto
for two hours,
and then he was like, might need to throw some other characters in here. That's what he came up with Sebulba and Boss Nass.
Yeah, other broad stereotypes.
You know, it was like 3 days left and the movie was going to come out. And he's like, maybe I should throw some Jedis in here.
Yeah.
Then he's like, I'll bring Obi-Wan back.
Yeah.
Let's see what Anakin's up to.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, last minute, like, let's have some of these classic characters.
Right. I heard that there was like an audition tape where you can see like there's a few different kids who were like in the final round for Anakin. And one of them had this like kind of interesting, brooding, dark energy.
Right.
And then it pans over to the next kid, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Anakin Skywalker."
And
you're like,
"Who got it?"
You'll have to check out the movie to find out, folks.
Man.
But if you rack your brain, you can probably guess.
Okay, let's go on to step two. Build a plot.
So the illustration before we read about this step depicts the title. We don't get the full title.
It's cut off.
You wouldn't want to steal their idea, but it says Star Wars 9, new, and then the word is R-O-U-G, which we can only assume spells rouge. Yeah.
I feel like they were going for rogue, but maybe they were savvy enough to be like, yeah, that's too close to the intellectual property.
This is rouge one with R2-D3.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Don't forget the, I don't know, it's not the Death Star, it's like something different. It's like Starkiller Base or something that's basically the Death Star, but it's just a totally recycled plot idea.
Yeah.
They just gave it another name.
Yeah.
Like Moon Gun.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, The Force Awakens was basically just a repackaging of A New Hope, and
well, we're going to lose a lot of fans on this one.
Well, I just think that that's...
No, I agree with you entirely. Truth. I mean, it was a retelling of the same...
It was a soft reboot, and I think that Star Wars 9 New Rouge 1 is going to be a welcome return to the Rogue One franchise.
So you're going to want to start with the main idea, the main conflict of the movie. Probably a war, probably near some stars.
I would say for sure a war.
Next, think of some things that could happen along the way.
This is crucial in movies, that there are things in them.
Like, maybe R2-D3, he's getting hungry, so he stops at, like, you know what would be funny? Like, a fast food place, but, like, in space?
Yeah.
So and he goes and gets, like, an Astro Burger.
Yeah, it can be some kind of a cantina, and there can be a song that everybody loves in the cantina.
Yeah, exactly. You can have a lot of funny puppets and characters.
Yeah, and then you can replace them with unfunny digital characters and puppets.
Yeah, no, let's not throw too much shade. But
I wasn't throwing shade.
No, even though I entirely agree with you. I guess I just feel like, you know, if we got a lot of audience members that are just really big fans of the digital reimaginings.
Yeah, if they loved the second DVD re-release of the original trilogy. I mean, look, I respect your opinion, and I really hope that you keep listening.
You know what has always struck me as funny and interesting to me about Star Wars? Visually, the holograms of people are indistinguishable from spirit ghosts.
That's true.
This is a world where when you die, you essentially look exactly like you were a hologram.
Yeah, really lucky techno coincidence there.
Like the line between the spirituality and the afterlife is like exactly the same. As a hologram.
Which suggests that maybe in the real world when we die, we'll become like a Snapchat filter or something like that.
I can only
hope. Technology predicts real life.
I want to be the one where you open your mouth and like rainbows kind of barf out of your face.
Yeah, or you lick the screen.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need a filter to do that. What are some other things that could happen? It says, remember to throw in a few battles here and there, but don't overdo it.
Yeah, look, this is Star Wars, not Star A Lot of Wars.
Yeah, not Star Endless Conflict that leads to a mass extinction.
Exactly. You want to have a couple wars in there. You don't want there to be too many consequences to them. You don't want people to get sick of the battles. They need some, you know, R2-D3 getting some of that chow at the cantina, too.
Exactly. What was so good about the prequels was, for every space battle, you know, instead of wearing out the viewer and making them desensitized to all the action, they would have, like, a 30-minute-long council meeting scene of just, like, talking heads. And, you know, female Yoda was there.
Yeah, great character. Her name is Yaddle. Yes. I'd like you to be accurate. But in our version, it could be Yodel or something like that.
Oh, that's funny. They could have like a Swiss garment and like a big mountain beard or something.
And I think what was so great.
Yodel, that's good.
What was so great about the prequels was that they turned something that was sort of a fun, childlike wonder experience into something that had a lot of really hard-nosed governmental commentary.
Yeah,
and like,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, I really wish I knew what a Model UN looked like, but sci-fi.
But, like, if all the people in it were even uglier and spoke in incomprehensible gibberish like Jar Jar Binks.
Now, I'm sure we're the first podcast to kind of bash the prequels, so I'm glad we're really covering a lot of new ground here.
This is bold territory for us to explore, but I think if you're ready to come with us, we have even more Star Wars scoffing ahead.
I just thought of another good name for the Death Star.
Yeah.
A murder ball.
Ooh, that's already good, a movie. Right?
Is it?
That is already a movie. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm thinking
killer,
of roller ball.
Killer orb. Kill.
That's good.
I'll keep
that's
thinking.
That's great, in
I'll
fact.
Keep thinking.
No, let's go with killer
planet,
orb.
Planet.
Planet Die.
Planet Die. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Planet Terror. No, that's a movie, too.
Yeah.
Step 3. Cast your characters. Now you have to decide who's playing whom. Good grammar there. Here's a good way to do this. Count up all the characters in your story. Say there's, I don't know, 15.
Yeah, just as an
now
example.
Now choose 15 of your friends who are good actors.
Yeah.
And we all have 15 or more friends that are just really good actors.
Really talented actors.
Yeah.
That's how George Lucas did it. He was
exactly.
like, hey, Harrison, are you
exactly.
free?
Yeah, Miss Fisher,
yeah.
would you care to be in a movie?
Yeah.
Yep.
And if one of your friends isn't a good actor, you can replace his face with CGI and make that do the acting.
Oh, exactly. Hey, James Earl Jones, I really enjoyed getting my ties with you. I want you, not your body, just your voice.
Yeah.
Just.
I'd like Andy Serkis in that suit.
Exactly. Oh, can you imagine?
Wow.
Would have been so life. Would have been like there's an actual person in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it would have been incredible.
So the picture for this step shows Facebook, and there's a big arrow pointing to your friends. So it seems to be suggesting that, you know, you just hit up your
yeah.
Facebook account, you go to your friends, just maybe pick the top
yeah.
15.
And I just want to investigate, because presumably this will give us some cute clues into the person who wrote this article. So they have 1,039 friends. They studied.
Pretty good.
They studied computer engineering.
I mean, you could with that many friends, you could do like an epic, like a Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
You could do a real, like...
You don't need CGI battles. You can get each of them to fill their own
yeah.
role. And it's that bodily presence on screen is really intoxicating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always like a good bodily presence on my screen.
And it says if you run out of... Like, if you have so many friends that are talented actors and you still want to invite a few extras, but you don't have any more characters...
Acquaintances are good for that.
Acquaintances are great. And you can always write a new character into the plot or cast them
yeah.
as an extra. So, like, there doesn't need to just be one broad Merchant of Venice-esque Jew in the movie. There could be tons of them everywhere.
Tons of these,
yeah.
like, kind of, like, caricatures.
Yeah.
You know, Jar Jar, again, classic archetype
yeah.
of... Some people say he's alluding to, like, a minstrel show.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that.
Yeah, but if you do
recommend that.
Go through your friends list, you can figure out, okay, what cultural group does this person belong to? What
sure.
type of offensive alien can
I mean, them
play?
The great thing about the aliens in the Star Wars universe is that they're just cultures.
Yeah.
It's nice to see yourself in the movie, even if it's just a really watered down,
mm-hmm.
you know, broadly painted,
yeah.
really offensive...
And also the most loathed
great.
Character maybe in movie history. So even if somehow you didn't find
right.
Jar Jar's portrayal of you hurtful,
mm-hmm.
now your culture is forever associated with this like nightmarish creature
who,
that
yeah.
haunts our...
Who else is... I'm trying to think of a character in a movie that's...
That's more hated
that's,
than
yes,
Jar Jar
I'm thinking.
Binks. I mean, maybe Hitler and Schindler's List.
No, but he's
but,
hated in context.
Right.
Like, the movie
yeah, yeah,
wants
yeah.
us to feel
right.
that.
Yeah, yeah,
whereas Jar Jar is like, they
right.
didn't intend him.
They hoped that people would like
him.
I'm
trying to think
him.
Of, like,
yeah.
a breakout, like,
yeah.
this is...
I guess...
This is really...
We'll have to keep
use
thinking
that degree,
about it.
Thomas. Come
I,
on.
I, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a big popular mistake in a recent movie. I guess...
I want to say Lord Farquaad, but that's not true.
People kind of like him. I guess,
yeah.
like... Superman and Batman versus Superman, they probably
oh,
wanted
yeah,
him to be a bit charming, and I
yeah.
don't think he was. I didn't see it, folks.
I did. It's a pass.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a pass.
We wouldn't want to alienate our viewers who like
good,
Star Wars and
ones.
Batman versus Superman.
Alienate.
But, because oh, nice.
Yeah. Superman's an alien.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just had a thought. Superman's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're... If your story gets stuck, like, maybe there's no way for them to, like, destroy, like, the ray of, like, the ray of pain or whatever, this giant machine.
Right.
Just have Superman show up and, like, punch it. Boom. Yeah, that's your climax.
That's great.
Problem solved.
Yep.
And then he goes back. He's a 20-minute meeting where they talk about, like, the ramifications.
That's awesome, yeah.
Boom.
And it has that, like, Zack Snyder sort of... political awareness
yeah. and just the
thing
slow motion
on.
Like
yeah,
so
yeah,
much
yeah.
slow motion
yeah. Yeah,
when
yeah.
You know when Hando's saying like
Hando
that could be like a fun matchup character
Hando Calrissian
yeah.
where
maybe
he's
you
just
could
a giant
where they get morphed together
yeah
oh
That's awesome.
But, yeah, just slow motion when he's like, Leia's like, Leia?
Leia in our
version. You're right. Thank you. Leia's Prince like, Leia. I really like you. And then in slow motion, just to be like, I know, and then really stretch that out.
And then he falls to his knees like Darth Vader in Revenge of the Sith and says, no!
Okay, that's really great. We don't want to do too much work for you.
Sorry.
Are all good ideas.
They are.
Murderball, TM.
Yep.
Going to use that for something else.
Murderball's definitely locked in.
Princess Leia, we want that.
I'm going to say temporary Tatooine.
Temporary Tatooine, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Oh man, I'm trying to think of the croissant. Could be like a fun metropolis, but it's also like a lot of good brunch places. Oh, this is some good fresh Star Wars humor, isn't this? Dago.
So hot.
Dagobah. I'm trying to think of one for Dago. Like,
well, that planet is named after another slur for a group of people.
You're kidding me.
No.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if it was deliberately named after it, but if you pronounce it correctly, it's definitely a slur about Italians.
Well, I'm going to edit all of this out.
No, that's like fine. No, you pronounced it. You pronounced it fine.
Pagoda?
Dago is not offensive.
You could call it pagoda or something.
Yeah.
Step 4, collect costumes. But this is the tricky part. You're going to need costumes, props, and sets.
Yeah. So...
Sets are essential.
Yeah, I would say in a movie, if you're just filming in your house or, you know, outside or whatever it is, and there's nothing, it's not going to feel like a Star Wars film.
No, it's true.
You got to remember those films have things in them. There are computer screens, stars, wars. I mean,
yeah, if you don't have a green screen, you could use your lawn.
Yeah.
Maybe lie on the lawn.
Sort of walk in place on the lawn, and then you can animate it behind you.
Oh, that's really
good. That's essentially how it's done. Now, mm-hmm. the advice for finding the costumes, they looked up on Amazon just Star Wars costume, and it looks like already there's some $85 child Darth Vader suit that you could get.
No, I think it's only $12.
Oh, well.
And here's the kicker.
It depends on the size and color.
If you want it used, you're right. It's only $2 cheaper. Which is pretty good.
Yeah. Get that used Darth Vader suit. Get that used one,
you'll save $2. Right. You can spend that $2 on craft services.
This is episode 9. Darth Vader has been dead for a few films.
Spoilers. But he's back in a hologram.
Right. So it makes sense that his suit's a bit used at this point, right? Let's see. When your friends come, you can ask them to bring any Star Wars costumes they might have, as well as toy laser guns or plastic lightsabers, whatever you need.
Oh, man. There's so much merchandise, like collectibles.
Yeah.
You basically... Disney has really shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, you could make your own Star Wars. You could
just
make your own
Star Wars movie by just buying their toys and their products. This is brilliant.
You buy a Lego set of the Millennium Falcon and
just film shoot a close-up.
Yeah, a close-up. Film your friend, like, standing far away from it so he looks the same size as the model. Oh,
yes. Use perspective and foreshortening
to get
that kind of scale, to make the scales right. Oh, that's so good. You can use posters and body pillows, prop them up against the wall. That's like another character.
Yeah, that sounds like Jabba the Hutt to me. I mean, sorry.
Oh, man, that's a huge body pillow. That's like a body duvet.
Yeah, Jabba the Hat.
Oh, that's good. That could be like your version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Step 5, extras. Back to this. Remember, Star Wars is full of extras. Random people and aliens who walk behind the main action. They don't have to look anything special. That's true. You can get your run-of-the-mill, really dull acquaintances, really like plain Janes and like...
I've done some extra work and they made sure that I wasn't pulling focus. They were like,
oh yeah, no.
You don't have any camera presence, do you? And I said, I don't know. And they decided for me that I didn't. And they threw me in the background. One of my film profs was an extra in the movie Snake Eyes with Nick Cage. And there's a big boxing match, and they placed people in order of attractiveness. So the really attractive people were in the front row, And he was so far back, he was positioned by cardboard cutouts of people.
Oh my gosh, is that for real?
That's a real
story.
Were
they that explicit about?
Well, he was just doing the math. He was like, oh,
yeah,
she's going to go in the front.
Sense. Oh,
I got
man.
Put back here with the mannequins.
If you can get some of the mannequins from Snake Eyes,
yeah.
maybe you can have like a boxing match yeah. scene in your Star Wars.
That would be awesome.
Brilliant. Maybe like they have laser gloves. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah, that's
laser
great.
Laser gloves, and then they have to like.
Yeah, it can be. T3KO.
Oh, 3KO. That's really good.
T3KO, yeah.
T3KO. That's yeah. Man, TM.
TM.
Don't steal us.
These are ours.
These are ours. This might even be the last podcast because
yeah.
we can just make our movie and
we're
going to
make
super
it big
rich.
In 3
I got
hours.
20 minutes after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
In 3 hours, check your news feeds because this thing's great. Going up on Rotten Tomatoes.
Baba and Weave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's maybe another one.
Not bad.
Yep. Okay.
Right, well, this is the really important step here. Step 6. Oh, you skipped.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's... Oh,
well,
yeah.
It's not that important.
No, no,
well,
no,
no.
Well,
let's skip it.
Let's just
let's
touch on it.
Yeah.
I feel like we should mention it.
So extras
then...
extras are really important.
Yeah, yeah.
Step
I mean,
6, we'll just briefly bring
sure.
it up.
I almost skipped it because
yeah.
it was so... There's not even a picture
Doesn't
for
matter.
It. Film your movie.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Step seven, play back your movie. Now, this
yeah.
is this is even more so than filming it because you can film whatever.
Yeah.
But if you don't... watch it
yeah if it's
you're not
gonna
know what you made
if it's not a .mov file I don't think mm-hmm. you're gonna know
yep.
what is going on
exactly make sure you label it correctly
yeah.
use underscores that's always really good
yeah
make
sure
you don't need to reshoot anything before putting it on the computer
right so
once
you're gonna,
you put it on there it's boom it's on that
yeah,
computer
that's computerized that's in the ether
yeah
you know that's New York Times is going to be reviewing that Richard
Absolutely.
Brody
WikiLeaks is going to get at it they're going to
yeah.
give spoilers
yeah.
there's going to be a leak
Yeah, I would say Edward Snowden has his eye on the Star Wars
Absolutely.
Short film
He's got
market.
His fingers in a lot of these mm-hmm. galactic pies.
Yeah.
I hate watching myself, though, in on screen or doing
yeah.
whatever, so I would get someone else to watch it for me and maybe just like
right.
write down what happened, and then I would just
yeah.
like read, just so I feel comfortable.
Yeah, you can translate the whole movie to text and any
oh,
edits you need to
yeah,
make.
Yeah, yeah, like, well, there's so many... novelizations
right.
of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I hate? One of my pet peeves is a novel that has a movie based on it or vice versa, and the cover is just the movie poster.
Yeah.
Oh, legitimately I mean, cannot stand that.
It's frustrating, especially if the novel is a classic or something, and then they
oh.
make it like, now it's Leonardo DiCaprio's book.
Exactly.
Get him off of here.
It's the DiCaprio code,
yeah.
just to reference that once every podcast.
Yeah, we try to bring it in as often as we can.
We're big fans here.
Okay, so once you've played back your movie and ensured that everything is perfect, step 8.
Oh, yes. You definitely do this after you've done all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Get a good editing system.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't already have editing software, you can download one from the internet. Every Mac comes with a free editing system, like iMovie, or a program called iDVD.
Yeah.
It's just...
I've never heard of those programs personally, but they sound great, and I would trust that the good people
yeah.
at WikiHow know what they're talking about.
Just go on the internet, just Google, like, free software.
Yeah. Just
free...
Google... Yeah. Google how to make your own Star Wars film, for example,
yeah.
and you'll find some really great advice.
Yeah, maybe you'll find this podcast, and
yeah.
you can listen to us. Make sure you do it at this point. You don't want to look too far ahead.
Right.
You don't want to worry about stuff like editing and like cuts while
yeah.
you're filming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One take, I think,
you.
Ought to do it.
That's what Hitchcock
then,
did. That's why his
yeah.
movies are so good.
Yeah. All of them
they
were
took
filmed
the first
in one
take,
take.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, they always took the first take.
Yeah.
I think that's what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if they mess up a line.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they forgot to put the bomb under
right.
the table. They took the first take.
Yeah, these all sound like Hitchcock anecdotes to me.
A funny story. Jimmy Stewart wasn't actually supposed to fall off the balcony
at the end of Vertigo.
Rear,
that was
yeah,
just a blooper.
Was it Vertigo 2? Rear Window. He falls out of the window.
Oh
too.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't supposed
in
to.
Vertigo. It's a like bell tower.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Even,
he falls out of.
I mean,
a
he
lot
wasn't
of
supposed to.
In every
it's just
Hitchcock.
They had to take the first take,
yeah.
right? So it was just like. Jimmy, come on, Jimmy. And he was like, oh, I know. I want to go
yeah.
take a look here off the edge here.
Yeah, he was
Mr.
having...
Mr. Hitchcock?
He was,
and then whoop.
He was goofing off with that panoramic lens, and he just toppled out of that wheelchair. It
well,
was,
he wasn't even supposed to have the cast, right? That was... The,
right.
That happened
They had to
the,
do reshoots
yeah,
because
yeah.
he was so badly injured.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Always take the first take. They don't say
the
that here, but
yeah.
you should
yeah,
definitely do
that's
that.
That's so cool. So once you've got the good editing system, you're going to want to edit the movie.
Make sure it's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you edit the movie, number nine.
It's easy to forget that Star Wars is edited because it feels, I think...
kind of bloated, you could argue.
Well, it feels like cinema verite, like it's you're just a fly on the wall, you're watching something, right? But it's very found footage.
Yeah,
but there is a constructed element, it's concealed, but you'll notice once in a while, for example, there'll be like a swipe across the screen that changes locations.
I must have been so caught up in it that I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's
well, that's fun.
It's subtle, but they like to. They like to remind you that you're watching a movie. It's like a distancing TED Talk effect. Almost. Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool because you're learning with these characters. You're growing with these characters. Yeah. You're learning about the lineage of Luke or Lake or whatever we want to call him. TM. Lake Groundwalker. TM. Just don't take that, please.
Yeah. We need that. You might want to spend a few dollars on iTunes buying the official Star Wars soundtrack. Oh,
that's really good, yeah.
Because you can use that in your movie as long as you bought it first. It's just fine to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think anybody...
You can a cappella your own versions, too.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, something like that.
TM, you know? That's ours.
Yeah, that's ours. We're going to be...
Edit. Don't take that.
In fact, please...
I'm going to edit that out, actually.
Thank you.
Great. One more thing it says when you're editing, chop, crop, add titles and music, and remember to add an opening crawl just like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, what separates Star Wars and elevates the film series above most, I'll say it, all other forms of cinema is the way they dump all their exposition at the beginning in a huge text box.
That's what cinema is all about. Is like,
it's tell, not show.
Yeah, is just laying out any information that's too convoluted to show on film in needlessly slow scrolling
and
yellow text.
It's information that you need, like what happened to the latest trade agreement or the treaty, or you know, how long has it been since this planet was like abandoned.
That's why I thought Rogue One was so revolutionary by cutting out the opening crawl. It really was more of a Star Wars story and less of a Star Wars film. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I thought the line between film and story could not have been further apart.
Yeah.
Like really clearly delineated.
Yeah. And it was so distinct from the original trilogy by being slightly earlier.
And you could really tell, like, they came up with their plot and they're like, oh, we need more characters.
Yeah.
So, you know, they added the sarcastic robot. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Yeah.
They added Mean General.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but Mean General, he's like the bad
guy. That was his name,
They put Hannibal in there, that was
Hannibal
fun.
Hannibal Buress, he was really
funny. Hannibal Buress was really good, even though it was just his voice.
Yeah, and I thought it was great, spoiler alert, that they designed a movie around basically uploading a file. That was, you know, it was
you can relate to
it. It's like...
You know?
I had to do that at Staples today, and now I'm seeing it on screen.
It's like you're trying to get the memory stick out of your pocket, and it's like, I grabbed my keys by accident.
Yeah.
And you're like, you put it in wrong, and it's like, oh, man, I know how they feel. They felt like when you were getting those plans.
I feel just like Rouge One.
TM.
And finally, when you've nailed everything.
Here we go.
Step 10.
Create the DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I know George Lucas. I can only imagine how proud he was when he finished. He said, cut. He went to the DVD player. He got it out. He held that disc in his hands.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I can't even imagine George Lucas writing Star Wars in Sharpie on a DVD-R the first time.
Yeah. And he's like, oops, the S and the T are connected. Wait a minute.
That
maybe
could
work.
Maybe
this is the logo.
Yeah. It was so great. And remember, as we said, like, once you create one DVD, you can create others later with updates to the movie if you weren't happy with the first DVD. So just churn it out. Don't think too much about it. And then watch it later. When you get dissatisfied, make another one.
Exactly.
People will buy it.
And, you know, if you put your DVD on your shelf and you can't find it later, you should listen to our podcast, How to Organize Your DVD Collection.
Mm,
it's gonna
that
really
one
straighten
is
you out.
Really helpful for alphabetizing.
Oh, and it says finally, just, I'm going to add this. Well, you can sell them on the street. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yeah.
But then you can maybe make a trailer for your short film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the new Star Wars film trailer was, I think, just the title with red font. And it has about...
red, eh? Was it Rouge? I see. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's, and I think it got about... you know, millions of views. All they had to do was put the title in front of Star.
Like,
so
Star Wars Episode 1X, Episode 9, Murderball
Rouge.
TM.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge. Oh, I like that. We'll get that market too. Murderball Rouge.
Hey, throw some music in there. You know, musicals are always great.
Cool. Well,
here's just a quick question. Someone asked,
"What's up?
Can I make up some characters?"
Yeah, of course. New characters will get introduced in just about every
just
new
about
movie.
Every movie. Yeah. Or you know, you'll do like you know, episode five, and you'll just have all the same characters again. But then maybe they'll lose instead of them winning. It's like a fun.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, bad things happen. They're not gonna win.
If it's a trilogy, you might not want to introduce too many new characters so that you can show them winning and then losing and then winning in the third one.
That's the twist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good model.
I think, you know, we've had a lot of really fresh takes about Star Wars. I think we finally somebody took the prequels
to
task.
Sorry, lamestream cinema reviewers.
Yeah, exactly.
But
fake news. This is real news.
Yeah.
Straight from the source.
You heard it here first, folks. The prequels were disappointing. And actually, some of the new movies aren't that as cool as everyone says.
I actually liked Rogue One, but we can argue about that on our other podcast.
Yes.
Star Wars podcast.
Yeah. Subscribe to that on iTunes.
Lake, I am your mother.
No! No, it's not true!
Yes, it is, Lake. Now come and face your destiny.
No, I won't believe it. No, it's not true. No, your laser stick.
Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, you cut off my leg.
That's right, Lake. Now take a look, Lake, at who I am.
No. Mom? Why didn't you tell me?
Because I didn't want you to worry. Now come home this instant. I'm going to make you some breakfast.
Mom, you just chopped my leg off. I'm conflicted.
Yeah, because you're a wanderer. You're like the prodigal son, but it's time to come home, Lake.
Wait. Stop. Leave him alone.
Oh, who's that?
My name is Yoga.
Oh, whoa, hey, we're trying to have a conversation here, just me and my son. Get out of here, yogurt.
The conversation, inappropriate, it is.
How so is it inappropriate? You don't get to tell me what I can and cannot say to my son.
You're pretty short for a Darth Vader.
Oh, Hand Solo cup.
That's me. That's my name. Don't
worry.
You always
got a drink in your hand.
Listen, Martha Vader.
Yeah?
You're coming with us. You're being tried for space war crimes.
Oh, you can never prove that. I'm just an innocent housewife. Do you want a cookie? Here you go.
Cut, 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 cut.
What? Was there something wrong with my performance?
No, it was fine. It was fine. You know what? I can just CGI your lips making different sounds, and we'll just...
That's great, because, you know, Alfred Hitchcock says you should always use the first take.
That's right!
Oh. Mr. Hitchcock, I didn't see you there.
I have been watching this film, watching the process, and I have a few notes.
Wow, that's so voyeuristic of you to watch us from afar.
Well, you know one of my trademarks, watching just my silhouette poking out from around the corner.
You know, I did see a round bulb that I thought must have been a snowman or something, but I guess it was you.
That's right. Now, the first rule of movie making. Do you know what it is?
I think so. Isn't it that you always use suspense instead of shock?
No. Common misconception.
Oh.
Have someone fall from a high place.
Oh, so do you think maybe in this scene, when I'm playing Martha, that I should get thrown off the bridge?
Brilliant! Brilliant! Yes!
Oh, well, if Hitchcock thinks it is, I guess we can do a second take.
Exactly. Everything is scarier when there's a high fall. That's just gravity, you know?
Yeah, wow.
Now, the second
rule... I
guess
that's why the birds was so good.
Exactly. I thought to myself, what animal or what antagonist could I have up high to create that tension? Birds.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's the scariest movie you've ever seen.
It is really scary.
Exactly. Yes. In fact, Jimmy Stewart was originally going to play the birds.
Yeah, but then he tumbled out of that window and he couldn't move.
And we had to use it because it was authentic.
That's real.
The second rule,
look, Mr. Hitchcock,
is
we're sort of on
Saul
set
Bass
right now. Okay.
To do the movie poster. Yeah. What is it?
No, I don't know. I'd like to get back to the filming. I mean, you're giving lots of great advice, but you're sort of sticking your nose in this.
I'm sorry. All of my life, I've loved the Star Wars, and here was my chance to give some of my own input, put some of myself in this beloved franchise, and I didn't realize I wasn't wanted.
Well, Hitchcock, you couldn't have a walk-on for like a second in one of the shots.
You would do that?
Yeah. Oh. Maybe you can be playing cards in the background or something.
In the cantina?
Sure. We call it a cantino.
Well, call it whatever you want. I'm there.
Okay, well, it's a real honor to have you on board, and I thank you for the advice. I think the movie's really taken a new direction now.
Okay, sorry, Zack Snyder. Back to you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Okay, from the top. And action.
Lake, I am your mother.
No, it's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, I don't believe it. No! Get that laser stick out of my face!
Oh, what's this slippery bit of bridge?
Stay away from there! Whoa.
We cut to a newspaper article spinning at your ears as you listen to this podcast. Star Wars Episode 9 breaks box office records.
Another newspaper. Star Wars features more stars, more wars.
Third one. Dogs going missing in Connecticut. It's unrelated, but it's also big news at the time.
It's sad, and there's a small subheading about Star Wars the second weekend at the box office.
Still good. It's still really good.
Yeah. Wow. Mr. Snyder, I just want to say this movie has really changed my life. I mean, after the first hour of shooting it, I was skeptical, but after the second hour, I knew we had a masterpiece.
Well, Mr. Hamill, I know you gave me a lot of flack when I changed the script so that you mercilessly killed those enemies. You know, you really, really beat them up and you bathed in their blood, but
yeah.
It's that grittiness, it's that darkness that makes movies interesting.
Yeah,
right?
when I broke Yoga's neck at the end, that was... It was necessary,
it
you know?
It was.
That was
so
cool.
Yeah. He was going to destroy that town hall meeting.
Yeah.
You had to break his neck.
Exactly. I can't thank you enough. Look, I want to tell you, I think I met my wife on set as well.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell me. Is the person who played Princess Leia?
That's right. I'm going to marry Meryl Streep.
Well, big congrats. Big congrats.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jim Jarmusch. I was just walking by, and I would like to say what this franchise could use.
Hey, Jim, look, we already got one auteur's advice on this franchise. I'm not sure that we need any more wacko theories.
I'm Steven Spielberg. You need to have an emotional moment with swelling music near the end.
Look, Steven, that might work for Jurassic whatever it's called, but here in Star Wars... Every moment has music.
I'm Morgan Spurlock. Watch me eat this hamburger.
Oh, that one actually is pretty entertaining, actually.
Nom, 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 nom.
Look, now that I'm in the Directors Actors Guild, I'm surrounded by all this talent, and it's cool, but I think I want to retire from the biz. Look, I got my wife now, I got my family on the way. I already hit the peak.
Would you say that? to Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, Mr. Kubrick, I'm your biggest fan.
We need to start over. We need to scrap the script, destroy all the new shots. You need to stop dating Meryl Streep. It's giving the relationship in the movie weird vibes. Okay. We're going to do it from scratch. We're going to use this handheld video.
It's already been released to theaters. Do you think we can
pull it back?
We've got to
pull it from theaters. Yeah. We've got to redo it. I'm thinking monolith. I'm thinking a black monolith.
A big black slab.
Exactly.
That sounds like it could carry a lot of different meanings depending
on what... Or nothing. Maybe it's just a weird, powerful image I wanted to put in there.
It could be postmodern in that way. That's awesome. Well, we were thinking of having an hour where we just bully Jabba the Hutt for being fat until he kills himself. Do you think that might work?
I'm Wes Anderson. I just want to say that there wasn't enough symmetry in this movie.
Wow, Wes, why are you standing so many feet away from me when we have this conversation?
Because I need to stand next to this mirror at all times.
Oh... Well, thanks everybody for all your input. I guess we'll pull it from the theaters, we'll make a few changes, and we'll show that big scene one last time.
Lake, I am your mother?
No, it's not true, I don't believe it.
We zoom into the Martha Vader's mask, and there's a smiling skull on it, and it's like, what, your mother? I wouldn't hurt a fly.
We zoom in on Lake Skywalker. He's got a tattoo on his forehead. It says a force, but it's like crossed out. Like, he doesn't need the force.
And both of them are wearing like ironic band t-shirts. And then out of nowhere, this giant monkey's bone gets thrown into the air, and it floats above them, and Martha and Lake look up at it for a second as classical music swells.
Newspaper flies at the screen. Star Wars Episode 9, Monkey Bone. Huge hit.
Diddly 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 di. Star Wars, how did they get Brendan Fraser to agree to reprise the role?
Diddly 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 di. The dogs were just at the dog park the whole time.
And that's the story of how Star Wars got its name and how Monkey Bone became the film of the generation.
Wow, Grandpa Ford, I love your stories.
That's right. And you'll never guess who I was in the story.
Who were you?
I was the monkey's bone.
What? No! It's impossible! I don't believe it!
Diddly diddly
no.
diddly diddly diddly. Well, folks, you asked for it, and you shall receive.
20 hours of uncut Star Wars critique.
Not only did we have our hyper-intellectual... unique take on the series, but we managed to spin it into a parody worthy of Monty Python and the Boys.
Oh man, Spaceballs-esque, if you will.
I would say move over, Mel Brooks.
MoveOn.org.
Yeah. So, from our hearts to yours, may all your Star Wars be peaceful.
That's right. Rate and subscribe, sort of derail your beautiful closing setup there,
no,
Thomas.
I would say listen to a few different episodes before you rate us, but definitely subscribe in hopes that...
This one's only for the true believers.
This one is for the hardcores, exactly. And we know you loved it.
Oh, man. I had a lot of fun putting it together.
Jesse.
You know, it feels like we finally got to speak from the heart.
I think this was our most truthful episode, if not our most...
confusing.
Yeah. Well, as I said, keep watching the stars.
And may the farce be with you.
And print.